listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by our content editor, Dr. Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Good to be with you. We're starting a new unit of study. You know, this is one that I have looked at over and over again, and I said, wow, I wish that we could present this to the entire world, because we are in need of this study. How to love your neighbor. How to love your neighbor is the name of this study. You know, because love is central to the Christian life. We know what love is because God has loved us. And our response to him is expressed in the two great commandments, love God and love others. So this study will help us to understand godly love and how to share that love with others. So we're getting into the first one today, the first session, and it's titled, Who is Your Neighbor? You know, the pandemic has done some harm in the way we live our lives. We are becoming a cocooning people who just retreat to our homes. And we're insulated from other people. But we are called to love others. And so we must move out of our comfort zones. When we see others as God sees them, we will be compelled to love them with encouragement, encouraging them, and to help them and support them. So that's what this first session is all about. This comes from Luke 10, a very familiar passage, Luke 10, verses 25 through 37.
All right, so our point for today is love compels us to be the neighbor others need. All right, and so what does it mean to be a neighbor is the question we're really trying to wrestle with in this study. And so our first point is, love others as myself. I should love others as myself. Let me read these first verses, 25 through 28. Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He asked him. How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, he told them. Do this, and you will live. All right, so this is a great opportunity for us today in this study, love others as myself. And which is, and that title in itself or this point is compelling because we all love and care for ourselves. And so all of us have this human tendency, it's a survival mechanism to make sure that we are taken care of and to make sure that we are loving ourselves. So this is now a challenge to say, that I make other people as important as I actually make myself. That is a huge step. There was an episode of Star Trek some years ago where they were fighting on this one planet, and half of the planet looked one way and the other half of the planet looked exactly like them in a mirror reflection. And so Captain Kirk couldn't understand why it was that they were fighting. He said, "You all look just alike." He said, "No." He said, and so the guy pointed out that they were like mirror reflections of one another. And so the point of the of that show was that we will always find something to separate ourselves and to make ourselves feel like we are better than somebody else, and then consequently not loving others like we love ourselves. So here we get this challenge to cut through that which is our internal selfish human tendency to always want to put ourselves first and to love others like we love ourselves. And so, and it was great that, Jesus tied this whole idea into what it means to be living as one with eternal life. That is powerful. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yeah, Mark, you hit the nail on the head there. That eternal life, sometimes we get that confused, but here in this biblical text, we have to understand that eternal life doesn't necessarily refer to duration of life, because every person is immortal, either in heaven or hell. It doesn't refer to a life that begins only when we die. You know, for us, especially as believers, eternal life begins with Christ. And this is what we're talking about here. And the moment that we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So eternal life is a particular quality of life, a life that comes from God and a life that we can have right now, especially as believers. So think about your life where you are now. You are living in that path of eternity, or in that station of eternity, which will extend on beyond time.
All right. So if you look down the key words today, and that's an important one, it reminds us that eternal life in the mindset of a Jewish person like Jesus is talking to was something that one got because of their bloodline. And now Jesus is cutting through this whole idea that we get to heaven, we have eternal life based on our human blood heritage, and saying, no, it's something different than that. And so, and now he describes here what the life is of the person who really has this eternal life. It is a connection with God, and it ought to impact your life and how you honor God, but also how you treat your neighbors. Sometimes we feel like we're pretty good with the honoring God side of this, right? We can worship, we can sing, we can do all of those kind of things, but applying this to your human relationships is where the real rubber meets the road. In fact, John said it like this in 1 John, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and then not love your neighbor who you see every day? This is a great opening to what I think is going to be a powerful study for us. And so how do we do that? Second point says, we have to see their needs. And so let me read down at starting at verse number 29. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, saw him and passed by on the other side." And so here are these great examples of people who we would consider leaders in the church. Surely they ought to be spiritual people, right? We see a priest and a Levite who come across this man who was beaten, stripped, and left half dead, and yet they did nothing to help him. The scripture says, in fact, they went out of their way not to help him. They went all the way around on the other side. And so one of the things we know is that if you're going to love your neighbor, then you have to be able to see their needs. So, you know, we all often can see our needs, but that's not good enough. You have to see their needs. How could they walk by this man beaten, lying on the ground, half dead, and not see that he needed help and not see ways that they could minister to his life in that very important moment? And I'm sure that all of us maybe have felt like maybe both of these sides. Maybe sometimes we have felt like people didn't see our needs when we were hurt. And maybe sometimes we didn't see the needs of others when they were hurt. And so this is a great challenge for us on every side. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, Mark, and sometimes we make excuses when we see someone in need. I'm sure that all of us have done this at one time or another. And consider this, when the priest and the Levite passed by, they may have thought something like, well, he might be a decoy, so somebody may ambush me. So they kept going. Or, I've got to get to the temple and perform my service for the Lord. Or, I've got to get home and see my family. I can't stop. Or, someone really should help that man. I don't think I have time. I'll just pray for him. So, you know, we think of excuse after excuse sometimes, and in order to justify the fact that we're not going to stop. But we need to extend mercy to people whom mercy is due. The lawyer, you know, he made a mistake. He made several mistakes, you know, even trying to justify himself when he even asked the question. He assumed that it was okay to fulfill the first commandment, but he sounded like he had issue with filling that second commandment, you know, who is my neighbor, or that I could love my neighbor.
All right, so opening our eyes and seeing people's needs, real needs, is of a vital concern. So putting on somebody else's shoes, walking in somebody else's steps, seeing life from somebody else's perspective is all a part of this whole idea of actually seeing their needs. And so let's move on to the third point. And it says, make personal sacrifices, make personal sacrifices. And so let's read this last section, verse 33. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he took him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. Then I will come back and reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who had fell in the hands of robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. Go and do the same. So here it is, the idea that you have to make personal sacrifices. And we can see a number of sacrifices that were made by this Samaritan. Right on the surface, we see that he sacrificed his time. I'm sure he was busily on his way, just like the other two guys. He sacrificed his oil and his wine, pouring them on the man to give healing to him. He sacrificed his own comfort as he put the man on his animal. He sacrificed his money as he left the man at the inn, telling the innkeeper he would take care of the man's future expenses. All of these are great sacrifices for this man, but these are only the surface issues that we see. In addition to this, there was this personal sacrifice because this man was a Samaritan, and the guy that got beat up was not a Samaritan. And the Samaritans were, by the group that this man belonged to, hated, despised, and you know, put down. And so think about this. So this was like you're looking at somebody, not just somebody hurt, but somebody who is of a group that typically would be one that would put you down. Mm-hmm. And that is the one the Samaritan reached out to help, which also calls for a whole nother level of personal sacrifice. So what a great illustration this is to see how this Samaritan operates in this moment. What do you see in here, Christina?
Yeah, Mark. So the Samaritan, instead of passing by, the Samaritan loved this man sacrificially. And that's what you just said. He didn't wait to be asked. To see the need right in front of him was enough for him to do something. And so what we see here, if we think about this, is that there are some ways that the Samaritan was like Jesus. The Samaritan was an outsider, despised by many. Jesus was despised by many. The Samaritan came after others failed to meet the need. The Samaritan came before it was too late. The Samaritan came with everything necessary. The Samaritan came right to the afflicted man. The Samaritan gave tender care, and the Samaritan provided for future needs. And see, all of those are similar to what Jesus did for us. So, you know, so we can say that the Samaritan just did something really, really amazing and beyond what the culture could even understand. And sometimes we may have to do something like that as well. Reach out to someone who is least expected to receive your help. Reach out to that person. There's no telling where God is going to lead you or who he's going to lead you to.
All right, so this is really powerful and really important, and it just reminds me of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17, which says, if anyone has earthly possessions and sees his brother in need, but withholds his compassion from him, how can the love of God abide in him? So this whole idea that we have looked at in this passage and in this chapter about who is my neighbor, about the idea of loving your neighbor, right? He tried to take this moment and cut people out of the love equation, right? How can I cut people out, and how can I make my neighborhood as small and tight and just like me as I possibly can? But the point of this passage is Jesus broadens the neighborhood instead of making the neighborhood smaller, right? And so now, and John just kind of wraps it up. If you have possessions to help somebody, and you see, and you withhold that compassion, the love of God is not in you. And so what a great challenge this is now to be able to see the world as my neighbor, huh? And not just my neighborhood, not just the people who are my friends, not just my family, not just the people who are just like me or think like I think or do what I think ought to be done. This reminds us that the whole human family is in the neighborhood. They're all in the hood today. And so what a great challenge and message this is. And so we're grateful for that. So I want you to hold on. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want you if you haven't already, I want you to get your own copy of the U Bible Study curriculum. You can get the U Bible Study at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban, cultural centric Bible study material. It comes in paper and digital formats. The teacher guide is in the back of the book, has daily devotional pages to keep you in the Bible every single day. And it has a beautiful leader's pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. This is really powerful. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is one that we use quite often. Be prayerful. Now, we know that as a leader, and especially as a Bible study leader, you pray often and you pray before you teach this lesson. But sometimes we would just like to point out a few things that are significant and in need of prayer. So in this session, remember, we're going to uncover that our neighbor is anyone of any race, creed, or social background. So with that said, then there may be some racial, national, or religious tensions that will be unleashed here. Addressing these things has the potential to unlock many emotions. So be sure to spend time intentionally praying for your learners, your class time, and for yourself. Read and meditate on Psalms 119:18 and ask God to prepare each group member to fully receive God's word with openness and enthusiasm and with love. Every person is our neighbor, and we're going to grow to understand exactly what that means.
All right, so this is going to be a powerful lesson and a powerful start to a powerful series. And so you won't want to miss a single one of these. Come on back, my friends, and join us again for another U podcast, because you never know where God will take you.